The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome to the Business Bunker Show on Kent Business Radio, Biz Radio, and channelradio.co.uk. On this Tuesday, August the 22nd, you are listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvellous Martin White.
Good afternoon, Paul.
Good afternoon, young Martin.
Good
afternoon, how are you?
Listener.
Hello, listener.
Can you hear me? Because I can't hear myself.
Turn your headphones up. That would help.
That's better. Obviously, had it turned down.
Yeah, there you go.
Should we get the elephant out? The elephant in the room, out of the room, before we go any further?
You could give it a try. Give it a shove.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
I think everybody knows it's your, what are you, 45 again today?
Do you really want to know how old I am?
No, we don't.
I don't mind telling you. I don't care.
No, we don't.
I'm 62.
62.
Yeah.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday. Brilliant.
No, that's very kind of you. Thank you. And thank you to everybody that sent me birthday wishes on Twitter and Facebook and WhatsApp and text and email and every other method. It's really much appreciated. Thank you very much.
Tracy Ferguson, the lovely Tracy Ferguson, has sent you an amazing gif.
Mm-hmm. There's been some fantastic stuff. And Bird recorded a birthday ditty for me, and then Mikey T remixed it in a disco style,
fantastic.
Which was quite good.
Yeah. It's very lifelike. I don't know if you've seen it yet, but hashtag Be Bunky, you need to
I'll have a look at that in a moment.
Yeah. And also Joe Alsop from Stove Hub says, happy birthday, Vanilla Webb.
If you're going to read all the birthday tweets out, we could be here quite a long time.
I'm not going to read them all out. But, yeah, so hi, Jo. And she's got an interesting little event coming up soon at her showroom over in Gillingham, where I think they're going to be cooking food again on stoves.
Yeah, they are. But they've got a pretty top chef doing it, have they not?
They
Will
have.
Devlin, isn't
Will,
it?
Will, yeah.
Yeah.
You're not going to be there with your raw tuna again then?
They won't let me cook anything. No. I got sesame seeds everywhere last time.
Yeah. A few people got food poisoning on the back.
No,
of that,
they didn't.
They?
Oh, what a big fibber he is. People like my Asian seared tuna in sesame seed.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just the sesame seeds.
The fact it was only half cooked that kind of got in the way of it.
Sushi, mate. It's sushi. He's such a heathen. He's a Philistine.
Anyway, happy birthday
Thank you, Martin. Thank you. That's very kind of you.
Yeah.
I want to say a big thank you to today's show sponsors. And we got dual sponsors for today's show. It's the lovely folks at Creative Motion, Justin Dean, and the video team at Creative Motion. Thank you so much for sponsoring the show. But we're also sponsored by CourierBid. And CourierBid is a really interesting new app and website for getting your deliveries organised. So if you're shipping stuff anywhere, even if you're just an eBay or an Etsy user and you want stuff shipped, you go into the website, you can find the most cost-effective way of shipping your stuff dynamically. And part of it is to ensure that they can fill empty trucks that are going back places. So if a truck's come here to deliver something and it's going back empty, we're going to fill it up. CourierBid. And at the moment, they're crowdfunding that through Leo Crowd. So if you fancy a bit of the action, get into Leo Crowd, look at CourierBid and put some money into it. That's what I suggest. Sorry, Linda?
Highly productive.
Absolutely. Oh, she's on a roll today.
We haven't welcomed our
guests. We haven't welcomed our guests yet. We were trying to kind of play it cool, but
Linda's ruined that.
But she ruined that by butting in.
Despite the fact she's just got off the red eye, as they call it.
She has.
She's from New York.
She's just in from the Big Apple. She's just in from New York.
Hey,
she swans in. Had a look at Martin and I trundling away and thought this isn't very productive. We got 2 hours of this. We need to up the productive rate of this.
Bit so of a rotten apple over
she's
there.
She's got me on the clock.
Has she?
Yeah.
Blimey.
So we've got the lovely Linda Garcia with us.
Aluxy Consulting, yeah.
And Lee Bennett from EJJB.
Fantastic. Yeah.
Hello, welcome both.
Welcome. We're going to be talking to both these lovely people during the show. We're going to be talking to Linda in the first part of the show, and we're going to be talking to Lee in the second part of the show. But as always, we also want to hear from you, the businesses out there in the southeast of England. And you can get in touch with us in all the normal ways. You can, in fact, call me on Ashford, 01233. 220035. That's Ashford 01233 220035. You can give us a call. Or you can email us at bunker@kentbusinessradio.co.uk. But by far and away, the easiest way to interact with us live on the show is to tweet me at VanillaWeb using the hashtag, please, hashtag BeBunker. Please use the hashtag, especially today, because I'm popular. Not. I've had so many birthday wishes, which is lovely. If you don't use the hashtag, I'll never find your tweet. Because we have already had 1,833,942,007 tweets to the Bunker Show. And I won't even tell you how many gazillion tweets we've had for birthday wishes. So
he's never been good with numbers, really, has he?
Yeah, yeah.
That was well remembered, though.
Oh, I counted them. Yeah. I counted them this morning when I got up. Because I couldn't have a shower because my shower broke this morning. So I had nothing better to do, so I thought I'd count my tweets.
You got no shower, no cufflinks.
Yeah, I broke my cufflinks.
A shirt that doesn't fit.
A shirt that didn't fit, yeah. I had a great start to my birthday, let me tell you. Anyway, it's all better now because I've got you lot here to talk to. So do tweet me, Vanilla Web, with the hashtag BBunker. And I'll tell you what, Martin, do you want to find a tweet and read it?
Yeah, I've got some hellos to say.
Go on, then.
So on Saturday...
Hello, Mum.
Yeah. On Saturday, I was out with Jackie Offen from JJ Systems.
Oh, nice one.
Denise Wilton.
Oh, blimey, all the old crowd then.
Focus.
Yeah, yeah.
He was out with the girls again.
Yeah, yeah, he was.
Manjit. Have you met
Manjit? Yes, I have met Manjit, yeah.
I think Andrea Barker turned up briefly.
You really were
well.
Out with the girls, yeah. Weren't you? You really were on a girly day out.
And my wife.
Well, she's a girl too. This may come as news to you, but she is.
But no other men. So I spent the day surrounded by these gorgeous women at the Herne Bay Air Show on Saturday.
I thought you were going to say you went shopping in Blue Water or something.
No.
She went to the Herne Bay Air Show.
Really,
do you know, I want to talk about that because that was funny. For a start, I couldn't understand why there's three air shows in Kent on the same Saturday.
Where?
When it was Biggin Hill and Headcorn.
Right.
The War and Peace show at Headcorn and a Biggin Hill air show, which was grounded because they had some problems with the planes. And then there was Herne Bay air show.
Well, it's the Battle of Britain Memorial flight, I think, that got grounded.
Yeah, it was.
Problem
yeah.
with one of the Merlin engines on one
of
the
planes. Yeah, there was a pin missing.
Is that what it was?
Yeah, it was, yeah.
Right.
Well, they are sort of 80 years old.
Yeah. Was it good?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense to have lots of air shows all on the same day.
Well, I suppose you can triple up, can't you?
Well, exactly.
The planes just fly over and everybody thinks it's just for them. And they go, oh, look, there's a Spitfire. Well, look, there's a Lancaster.
But if you think about it, the Red Arrows, if they had to get from Herne Bay up to Aberdeen to do a display there, it's not a good use of their time. So from a productivity perspective, it makes sense to do it
see
all
what
in
he
the
did
southeast,
there?
Doesn't it?
I'm so impressed with that, Martin. Did you? It's like the show was almost produced.
It is, isn't it?
He smoozed that straight into a productivity thing.
So the Red Arrows are the productivity kings when it comes to display flying because they literally go from one display to the next.
Oh. Less setup time.
Yeah. So it actually makes a lot of sense.
Impressed.
But it was a great day. And the Great British Summer did its best to shine on us and rain on us. Mm. And it was a bit windy at times, but everybody enjoyed themselves and it was lovely. And Jackie, crikey, what a spread she put on.
Did she?
So she brought enough food for 10,000 people. I mean, it was amazing. So
thanks for the invite, Jackie.
We were thoroughly spoiled. Thoroughly spoiled we were. So what a great day.
I would have come home Friday had I have known.
Yeah.
Thanks for the invite too, Jackie.
Some of us weren't invited, but then some of us aren't girlies.
Next year.
Yeah, I qualify.
Yeah. Well, you could have gone, but I couldn't, obviously.
But what a great British kind of summer's day, you know, Red Arrows, you know, Spitfires, all that kind of stuff. Well, strawberries and cream.
Well, I was in Headcorn on Saturday because my old mum lives in Headcorn, and I was sorting out her broadband. And the Headcorn War and Peace Air Show is absolutely brilliant because you get all these old boys in their 40s, 50s and 60s, wandering around in Second World War American Navy uniforms because they all dress up for it as well because it's a War and Peace show. It's hilarious going into the cafes there and seeing all these guys. It's like going back 50 years,
back
basically. Yeah.
Right.
Fantastic.
Okay.
So is that the end of your hellos?
It is for the moment, yeah.
Right.
But Evo Girls. So, Linda, I know you go to the odd Evo Girls meeting.
Occasionally,
They're only having one in August.
Right.
Because, obviously, a lot of people are on holiday and families and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But it's on Thursday.
This Thursday?
This Thursday.
Okay.
And it's happening at the George Inn in Leeds in Maidstone from 9:30 a.m. So it's your usual format, I think, of networking, masterminding, collaboration. If you haven't been before, I think you can go for, well, actually, I think your first visit is free. And then I think they do a kind of monthly membership subscription. So if you're interested in a predominantly ladies-focused masterminding and networking group, get yourselves along to Evo Girls Summer Meeting in Maidstone this Thursday. And it's going to be hosted by Liz Almond. And you can find all of the details in the community section of the Supply My Business website.
Fantastic. I had a tweet from the Organic Sisters. That's not easy to say that, the Organic Sisters, Caroline and Liz. And they say, hey, Business Bunker, what's in our Organic Sisters Riverford box this week? I hear you cry.
Figs.
Figs? What's that?
I'm harvesting figs in my garden at the moment.
I love figs. I love fresh figs.
Everybody wants.
You can speak.
Now. I'd like some figs.
I love fresh figs.
I like figs as well. Yeah, I've had Greek yogurt and figs the last 2 days for breakfast.
Amanda and I had fresh figs for breakfast on Sunday, actually.
Don't tell Bird, though. She'll kill me.
She's not listening. Are you, Bird? Oh, she is.
I do like a fresh fig.
Anyway, check out the Riverford Veg Box.
What's in it? Tell us, come on.
Well, they haven't told me.
Oh, they haven't told
me. They've been really sneaky. They've been really sneaky. What they've done is give me a load of pictures of curly cucumbers and parsnips and stuff.
All right.
And then a link to their website, which is riverford.co.uk. So you have to look it up yourself.
Well, isn't there a clue there?
I'd really like cucumbers. To see curly cucumbers.
What else did you say? Parsnips?
So there's a parsnip and a chicken.
It's not the same. Yeah,
would that be curly kale, Paul?
No, seriously, it's a curly cucumber. Well, no, look, it's a big twirly cucumber. It is, honestly.
Sorry, well, listeners, that we're not on screen.
It's properly organic, because that's exactly what my cucumbers look like at the moment.
I don't want to know. Yeah.
Normal.
I don't care what your cucumbers look like.
Curly and knobbly.
Yeah, okay. Good.
Can I give a shout out for Fruitworks in Canterbury?
Oh, yeah.
Because you may not know this, but having kicked out the Labour candidate who was temporarily residing...
Yep.
In Fruitworks office space.
Miss Duffield had an office at Fruitworks, yes.
That room has now been turned into a meeting room.
It has indeed, conference room.
And to celebrate that fact and to get people kind of interested in the idea of actually just hiring a meeting room as a one-off or for half a day, whatever their requirements are, Fruitworks are offering 25% off the price of that meeting room.
Good, isn't it?
Until the end of August.
Good, isn't it? It's a lovely room as well.
So if you need to get a meeting organised in Canterbury in the next couple of weeks and you're struggling to kind of think of where you should hold it and host it.
How many people would that room hold then?
It will probably take around a board table type 10 to 12. But it's got all the technology. It's got all the loudspeakers and Skype technology and big screens on the wall so you can Skype in too. If you took the table out, you could probably get more people in there if you put it theatre style. It's quite a big room. And it's right next to the coffee shop as well.
Yeah, it's on the ground floor next to Garage Coffee, isn't it?
It is.
Brilliant. So there you go. So 25% off the price of that in August. So fruitworks.co/space is the website for that.
Yeah, or fruitworks.co. Either one. Alan Noakes been on. Haven't heard from Alan for ages. And no wonder why. He's got some groundbreaking news.
I read that on the
on his World's Most Expensive Link, which is a charitable thing Alan's been doing for many, many years. And what you do is you bid to be top of this list, and then you get a load of advertising and promotion, and you bid a small amount of money to be at the top of the list, and then you can top it up. And for 7 years, the same company has been top, but no longer.
Something clocks.
It was a clock, Anthony Gray clocks. Were number one on the list for 7 consecutive years, but they have finally been toppled. And they have a new first place for the first time in 7 years. So huge congratulations to Trailers Kent, who are now the world's most expensive link.
Congratulations. Mm. So that's the next 7 years of that done.
Absolutely.
Superb. Now, what else is going on? I've got to get... There's another elephant in the room. We've got to get out of the room, and that is Slope Off Friday.
I'll go for it.
There's another one.
I've got tweets and emails about it, but go on.
It's next Friday. Mm-hmm. It's at the Empire Room restaurant in Ramsgate, which is situated in the Royal Harbour Hotel on Nelson Crescent. Mm-hmm. So cool, because Nelson actually resided there during the Napoleonic Wars.
What, Mandela?
Yes.
Nelson Mandela lived in Ramsgate.
Wellington lived up the road in
Addington
Street. I'm just not going there, Paul.
You're just going to ignore me.
I've got some important news about Slope Off Friday.
Sorry.
So it's next Friday.
Yeah.
I think everybody's meeting at 2 o'clock for kind of pre-meal drinkies. It's £20, and you know the chef there, Craig Maynard, is absolutely brilliant.
What'd you get for £20? Two or three courses?
Three courses. So I'm having crumpets with poached egg, and I think some sort of crab concoction.
Oh, lovely!
Then I'm having the belly of pork with some roast veg, I think, and then I've got the posset just as a light dessert.
Well, you'd want that after that.
Yeah.
Crumpets to start. That's interesting.
Gorgeous thing. Yeah. With a poached egg. I think it's a quail egg, actually. Yeah, delicious. So, it's next Friday. It's at the Empire Room in Ramsgate. You need to email Andrew Knott if you'd like to go along to that. And his email is andrew.knott, that's K-N-O-T-T, at fsb.org.uk. And confirm your place.
Fantastic.
I expect Jules might be there as well.
Jules will be there, won't she? Yeah. With a crate of Prosecco. And that's just the pre-lunch snifter, that is.
I've not been along to a slope-off Friday for months.
Well, you have to go.
Is that in Faversham?
No.
Ramsgate. He just told you.
Yeah,
she wasn't listening, was she?
No, I was.
Yeah. He just did a huge sales number on that, and you just completely ignored everything he just said.
So I've now had to repeat that, which means that the productivity level
has just dropped.
Please don't repeat it.
And that is all due to a productivity consultant. That'll teach you, won't it? Well, I want to tell you about something before we break for tunage, and it's the Gorillas and Gals Charity Fashion Show. It's taking place at the Port Lim Hotel, and that's on the Port Lim Reserve, Animal Reserve. On Friday the 29th of September from 6:30 p.m. And they're raising funds to support the Aspinall Foundation's work with gorillas in the Congo. The event is hosted by the gorgeous Amanda Flanders of Butterflies and Dreams Events and the equally gorgeous me of the Business Bunker Show, who's the MC, in collaboration with photographer Jane Mucklow and fashion designers Caroline Bruce and Josh Bartfield Birch Jones. Josh is a 12-year-old boy. He's a fashion designer, and he designs women's clothes fashions specifically for ballroom and evening wear. And this is not mucking about. They are top quality clothes. It is real good schmutter. Okay. Guests will be welcomed with a glass of bubbly and canapes in the stunning setting of the main house before moving to the Aspinall suite for the fashion show, a deluxe buffet, and a live auction. You would not believe the things to be auctioned there. There are so many things. Everyone is guaranteed an evening of fun and entertainment with a chance to view and purchase some exquisite pieces of clothing. Then later in the evening, you can pledge to win some amazing auction prizes, all in an extremely worthy cause. I'm going to tell you a few of the prizes that are up for the auction. There's an evening dress donated by New York fashion designer Fuad Sarkis. There's a picture donated by the renowned artist Nick Vesey, the X-ray man. There's a designer chair donated by Felicity Randolph of Cheeky Chairs. There's a VIP pass to the director's box at West Ham United to any football match of your choice in the Premier League. There's a luxury villa in Turkey for a week. There's a bespoke stay in the Port Lim Hotel with dinner and dusk and a private safari. There's a stay in the treehouse accommodation with a dusk safari and a champagne breakfast. And there's a bespoke AAA safari for 10, which enables you to feed the animals. You get to feed the rhinos and the giraffes, hey? And there are lots more great pledges. So do come along. It's a paltry nothing at £45 a person. Every single penny of that is going to the charity. Or you can book a VIP table for 10, and there's only two of those tables left now. The VIP tables will have wine and nibbles included on the table and a front row seat. If you want to find out about any of that or to book your ticket, butterfliesanddreamsevents.co.uk/gorillasandgowns or follow them on the Twitter, GGCharityFS. GGCharityFS. So do that.
Are you asking people to turn up in gorilla outfits as well? Or?
No, you don't have to come dressed in your work clothes. No.
Okay, that's a shame. That would be fun.
Absolutely.
Gorillas and tarts.
Anyway, yeah. Sounds like a great...
Something like that. Yeah, absolutely. Gorillas and tarts. That'll work. I like that. Yeah. I'll tell you what, though. We're going to have some tunage. Yeah?
Brilliant.
And then when we come back, we're going to talk to our first guest, Linda Garcia. Have a listen to this.
You're the light. the night, you're the color of my blood. You're the cure, you're the pain. You're the only thing I wanna touch. Never knew that it could mean so much, so much. You're the fear, I don't care, 'cause I've never been so high. Follow me through the dark, let me take you past the satellites. You can see the world you brought to life, to life. So love me like you do, la la, love me like you do. Love me like you do, la la, love me like you do. Touch me like you do, ta ta, touch me like you do.
Right, time for work. I'm off to Channel Facilities Management. Oh, didn't I say? I don't work for them. What I mean is, I don't start work without them. Channel Facilities Management is where local businesses go for no-hassle, peace-of-mind commercial cleaning, security, janitorial supplies and facilities management. Operating a safe, green and eco-friendly service with no chemicals used. Channel Facilities Management. Don't start work without them. Just call 0800 612 4415 or visit channelfm.co.uk.
Rift Accounting. Safety in numbers. Riftaccounting.com.
Your business will grow if you take advice from people who've been there and done it. See and hear world-class business experts in masterclasses and workshops at the only business conference worth visiting. The Grow Kent Annual Conference, November the 30th at the Ashford International Hotel. Get tickets at growkent.co.uk.
Jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
ZC Live, bringing a digital one-day event to Kent with Zoe Cairns. ZC Live. Register for your free place. Visit zcsocialmedia.com. Need help promoting your Kent business? Join our supplymybusiness.co.uk community today and start connecting your Kent business for just £20 per month.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show on this 22nd of August with me, Paul Andrews, and my co-host, Mr. Marvis Martin White.
We just had a tweet.
No.
From Le Sud de France, the south of France.
Really?
Yeah, from our friends at Channel FM.
Really?
Yeah. So listening to their ad reminded me.
They're in the south of France, are they?
They're in, I think it's Villefranche. They didn't say where, but I recognised it.
Did you?
Yeah.
You're a smart cookie, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, I'm going there week after next.
Are you?
I ought to know.
Cool.
So thanks for tuning in, guys, all the way down from the south of France. And it looked like it was sunny down there.
No, really?
Yeah.
So who's doing the cleaning?
Yeah.
So the whole of Europe has been basking in scorching temperatures, while we, north of the jet stream, haven't.
So, it's going to change. Yeah. It's going to change at the weekend for my birthday barbecue. Don't you worry.
Anyway, thanks for tuning in, guys, and you're having a nice time.
Right, I'm going to do a couple of things, and then we're going to talk to our first guest. I'm going to tell you about Southeast Construction Expo. It's the leading construction event for the Southeast, and last year it attracted over 3,000 visitors and 200 exhibitors, over 600 free meet the buyer appointments. Just take a look at some of the things that are there. You can look forward to find out how to take advantage of billions of pounds worth of projects, major developments and regeneration projects update. There's the latest on digital construction, including an update on BIM. And construction in 2025, how you can develop talent for the construction sector, improving competitiveness of the market, what's stopping you building, news on the Thames Tideway Tunnel development, and a free meet the buyer section. It's all happening on Thursday the 5th of October at the Kent Event Centre near Maidstone. That's at the County Showground on Detlin Hill, and it's from 8:30 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. If you'd like to find out more, if you go to kentbusinessradio.co.uk/business events or click the business events tab, all the details are there and you can book your place and find out more there.
What would you do, Paul, with £5,000?
What would I do with £5,000?
Yeah, what would you do with it?
With £5,000?
Yeah.
It's not a lot.
Well, to spend on your business, what would you spend it on?
On my business?
Yeah. If it was just given to you as a grant.
Right, if I got £5,000, what would I spend it on in my business?
Yeah. Would you install some bicycle racks, perhaps, at Fruitworks in Canterbury?
No.
Oh, I actually think that would be a really good idea.
I might. We actually got very close to having a bicycle rack area in downstairs at Fruitworks. Yeah.
Right.
And they banned you.
No.
Because let's face it, Canterbury has got a traffic problem.
Yeah, it has. And lots of our... We've got 140 businesses in Fruitworks, and we don't have a car park. So they all walk, cycle, skateboard, roller skate, or have those stupid little scooters that they come in on. So we did think about a bike rack.
Well, I tell you what, you can have one for free. I'll tell you why.
Yeah.
Do you remember the lovely Lindsay Reynolds?
Kent Connected. Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
Over a year ago.
Yeah, I do. When they first launched Kent Connected. Yeah.
So they're actually administering a travel grant,
right?
A sustainable travel grant at the moment on behalf of KCC.
Okay.
And they're giving away £5,000 to businesses that actually bother applying for a £5,000 travel grant. And actually, in terms of the kind of the eligibility for something like that, it could cover something like a bicycle rack for your staff.
You could buy a cycle pod.
It could be a cycle pod. It could be a shower to encourage people to actually
see. You're trying to entice me now because my shower broke this morning.
Right, there you go.
Do you think if I rang up and said, "Can I have a grant, but make it snappy because I'm smelly because my shower's already broken"?
I think you'd be a shoo-in.
Could you actually buy the bicycles with it?
Quite possibly. I don't see why not. Yeah.
Staff bicycles, company bike.
I know that has been. Oh, that's been offered in the larger organisations.
It could even be audiovisual equipment. So thinking outside the box, that's what businesses need to
so
do.
More people can work from home.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Or work, you know, rather than having to travel to a meeting, hold it from the office.
Absolutely.
So there's grants that have been made available for that as well. If you're interested, you need to get your skates on. You need to apply for this by the end of August. That's the initial kind of deadline for applications. And then I think notification is by the end of September. So it's a pretty quick turnaround on all of that. If you want more information, please look at the community section of Supply My Business. It's all in there.
Fantastic. Do you know what we're going to do now? We're going to talk to our first guest. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back. You have been on before, haven't you?
I have, Paul.
Quite a while ago.
Not on your birthday, though.
No.
So it's an even more auspicious
this
occasion.
This is very special. Yeah. It's an absolute pleasure to welcome back, not on my birthday, the absolutely adorable Linda Garcia of Aluxite Consulting. Hello, Linda.
Good
how are you?
Good afternoon, everybody. I'm really well, actually. Well, surprisingly well.
You're looking very good for someone that literally has just stepped off the red eye. You've been in New York, haven't you?
I have been in... I was actually staying in New Jersey, but yeah, I had a good look at New York.
Right.
Took one look, turned around and decided to come back.
New Jersey, is that... Didn't somebody once affectionately refer to New Jersey as the armpit of the United States?
Something like that, yeah. As soon as you cross through the Holland Tunnel, it goes downhill.
Yeah, yeah. No, New Jersey is actually starting to be developed.
Yeah,
they're building a lot of waterside apartments, and it's because New York is just
suburban New York now. Yeah. A lot of New Yorkers actually live in New Jersey. Yeah. And
but no, I did. We had a wonderful time actually. It wasn't.
Was it business pleasure? Bit of both.
It was just to be with my husband rather than him having to keep coming back to the UK. So
right.
Can you do the accent? For us, Linda.
No.
What, for our husband?
Jersey.
That's going to be a mix.
A new Jersey.
No.
Go on.
No.
She's not going to do it. Right.
But did you have fun?
Yes, I did.
You went to the Guggenheim.
I did go to the Guggenheim.
It's pretty special, isn't it?
I think that is the most spectacular display of modern and contemporary art there that I've ever seen. I was really impressed with that.
It is absolutely brilliant, isn't it?
A bit disappointed in the Empire State Building. They've turned that into a bit of a Disney attraction.
It's old now. It's
That's what I was really looking forward to seeing. I love Art Deco 1920s, 1930s design, and if you actually look up in the streets of New York, some of the buildings, not the newer modern ones, obviously, are just amazingly decorated with, you know, the Art Deco is just all over the place.
It's like the Rothschilds building as well.
Oh, yeah.
The Rockefeller Center.
Rockefeller Center, yeah.
Yeah, with that's the ice rink in front of it. It's really nice. Yeah.
Is that the one that King Kong was swinging off the Empire
That's
State?
That's the Empire State Building.
Have they repaired it since then?
No. Yeah. Okay. It loosened the brickwork, that did.
I think they used cardboard model.
Uh-huh. What, the tower or
New
Godzilla?
York was interesting, yeah.
I'm not a city person either. We were talking about this before the show, weren't we? And how you hate traffic and the pollution.
Yeah, that is the one thing that isn't very well... managed in New York.
I hate
quite
that.
A shock to me. I was expecting it to be.
Did you see the Gridbusters in action?
No.
You know that New York, because it's a modern city, is built on streets and roads, so they intersections and blocks. Oh, yeah. It's a grid.
Yeah.
But the trouble with a grid is it gets gridlocked, which is where the term gridlock comes from, and nothing can move. So they have a crew called the Gridbusters, and it's a little truck with a crane on the side, and what it does, it comes down the sidewalk, and they hook it underneath your car and turn your car on its side so that you can get the traffic flowing again.
That I didn't see.
Did you not see it?
I might have to go back. Just
it's normally
to see
the
that
yellow
one.
Cabs they turn over. Yeah.
I mean, the thing about New York for me, though, is the history of the place.
Yeah.
I mean, if you look at the history and, you know, I mean, New York is relatively kind of new as a city. I mean, it's nothing like
London. It was built on a swamp as well.
Yeah.
Most of it's now built on landfill.
Yeah, it is. It was built on a swamp and landfill.
And it was built by entrepreneurs.
Yeah.
You know, those kind of, those...
It's dating back to 1600.
Do you know who built
it? Early billionaires.
Peter Stuyvesant built it.
What, the cigarette?
Yeah.
Manufacturer.
Yeah, it's tobacco millionaire. That's where he got the money from. He was a tobacco farmer, Peter Stuyvesant.
But a lot of them were British, weren't they? So, I mean, you know, the railroad people, the steel people, the Carnegies.
Well, it was originally called New Amsterdam, and then the British bought it off of the Dutch and renamed it New York.
It's a fascinating story, and the journey in such a relatively short space of time. It's a great example of American greed, isn't it?
Mm. Do you know what? It was so good they named it twice.
New York, New York.
Anyway, enough of that.
Swiftly on.
Right. Shall we talk to Linda?
Let's talk to Linda.
No, that's fine.
So, Linda, Tell us a little bit about Linda and Aluxi Consulting and what it is you do, and then we can launch into an argument about it.
We can indeed, yes. Aluxi Consulting, the ethos of what I do is to work with the business owners on improving their profitability, but using the existing resources in their business. So normally if you've got sort of 5 or 10 plus employees, you're starting to have a cost base, and you need to make sure that those people and any other assets that might be costing you money that you need to be producing to cover the costs of. But people is normally the main cost centre for any business. So it's getting those resources optimised to maximise the profitability. That is normally generated through a behavioural change, which all sounds a bit wishy-washy and mufty-fluffy, but the focus that I take is you've got to have that two-pronged approach using systems, meaning the management control systems, the workflows, the processes that you're using, whatever it takes, whatever framework or structure it takes to make somebody work in a particular way. And to complement that, you have to support that with training. And again, I use training in the loosest sense of the word. That can be mentoring, coaching, facilitating, one-on-one, physically showing somebody how to do the job, following up with them, anything that is engaging that person in understanding why they need to do things in a certain way and what it's going to, how it's going to benefit them in their job and their job satisfaction, and more importantly, how it's going to benefit the business in its growth, because then you're obviously creating a sustainable organisation for those people to remain employed in. Cool. But that is the main purpose.
Fantastic. Let's deconstruct that a bit.
Yes.
Let's deconstruct that a bit. Because your big bag is productivity.
I am a productivity specialist.
And I just want to throw away a couple of things here, because the UK government, the ONS, the Office of National Statistics, produce productivity reports.
Yep.
And they're always rubbish at the moment. The UK productivity is down the toilet. But
we're less productive than the French.
Yeah, how's that possible?
Apparently the French produce as much as we do in 4 days.
Yeah.
So I can give you the exact percentages if you like. And I have to say, I have been presenting this, if anybody that's been along to my talks or keynote speaking, on productivity. I've got a talk called The Taboo About Productivity, because people think of productivity as just time management, which it wholly isn't. It's way over and above that. And yes, the UK is currently 17% behind all of our G7 counterparts and the USA. And that does mean, yeah, they're producing in 4 days what it takes us 5 days to produce. And as Paul, you've just mentioned, the way that the government is measuring things, the Bank of England stated quite correctly that we are not measuring efficiency. We are measuring hours worked, but we are not comparing that against what we're actually outputting. Productivity is output divided by input, without getting too technical. Hours worked is just throwing more people at the problem, if there is a problem. And just putting more people in to try to do more work is not a profitable or productive way to manage a business.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And you're going to argue with me, aren't you?
No, I'm not, because, you know, it's probably over the term productivity, and the fact that the 21st century is a paradigm shift, that we are going through a massive paradigm shift in the way that things work, and most of that's facilitated by technology, but it's also new ways of working, and there's a load of issues here. Like, say, you've got millennials and Generation Z that don't do 9-to-5 anymore, and nor do we. I mean, we've got smartphones, we've got tablets, yep. We've got laptops. Mine goes off all day, all night, all the way through the night with messages from all around the place saying this, that and the other.
I carried on working while I was in New Jersey.
There's no such concept of working 9-to-5 anymore. And it was always stupid anyway. Because, I think I saw something that you posted, Linda, about what people actually do at work in their 9-to-5, you know, which is they buy stuff on Amazon, they check their personal emails.
Yeah. Well, we would. The article that I was posting, and it forms part of the presentation that I'm doing in a webinar once a week at the moment, is what they actually do in the hours that they are paid to work. So I was citing the 7.5 hours that they're paid. Whether they're doing that between 9 and 5 or 12 and 8 or 8 and midnight is irrelevant. It's what they're doing in the time that the employer is paying them to be working. Mm. And that was highlighting that people are not focusing on their jobs. they're allowed to be on Facebook, doing their shopping, internet surfing, calling their mum, calling their grandma, calling their boyfriends, whatever it is. But the point is, people are wasting time at work and not being managed to do what it is they're being paid to do. And then businesses start to wonder why they've got so many people in the business. It's because they're having to employ more people to get the work done. Yep. Or they're not, the people that are in the business are not getting the work done, and so the client orders or the clients aren't being serviced, and then the business isn't bringing in cash, and they wonder why they start to see negative cash flow.
Yep.
It's such a kind of hot topic, isn't it?
Yeah, it's taboo.
I mean, I've got friends at the moment, and I won't tell you who they work for, but they're being made to feel as employees... as if they have no value inside the organisations that they work for.
That will be because of the way they're being managed, not because they're doing anything wrong.
Exactly.
And this is where, and what's something that the government is now starting to recognise, we are not skilling our management and our leaders. Leadership and management are two words that are often confused, and yes, they are different.
Absolutely.
Skills,
yeah.
But the government is recognising, and I saw a talk by a lady from the Open University, it was a year or two ago, one of the B2Bs, stating that by 2020 we are going to have the biggest skill shortage of the G7 countries, for example. But if you look at the average business owner...
Do you know, sorry to interrupt... Mm-hmm. You know, right now today there are 771,000 unfilled jobs in the United Kingdom.
I can imagine. So it's not like we haven't got the jobs. We don't have the people with the right
jobs
skills.
Are there. We just don't have the
to
skills.
Fill them. Yeah, and management is one thing that people don't, or you know, business owners generally don't consider. They need to be training their people to do. I mean, and I cite in quite a few of my blogs. It's in my book, The Conquering Barriers to Business Growth. That very
do you
often,
see how she did that? She
well,
slipped that
sneaky.
In very well. That was sneaky, wasn't it?
It's a fiver. Come to the Grow Kent or the Kent Expo Exposition.
But you are right, because those two friends I was talking about have both said to me they've got the most awful line managers.
Right.
And so apart from what's going on
and
at a kind of
the, it isn't the fault of the line management. It's not the fault of the line manager either. There's not really apportioning blame here. It's identifying where are the weaknesses. We generally, what I see is managers are selected from a highly productive group or a team of people. They will be the best worker. Great, we need you. You can come and be the manager. So they'll promote that person, put them into a managerial position, but they don't tell them how to manage. Now, management is a skill. And, you know, getting people to do things has to be taught. And so subsequently, that person is taken out of the team. They're might not be very comfortable in that management position. The team might not feel that they are in that sort of, or that person has...
They do things by rote. They do things because they've always done things.
Exactly.
They do things that they used to do because it used to work. And nobody ever sits down and reevaluates where they are, which is where Linda's coming from, I suspect, a lot of this, which is to say... Think about what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the whole thing about looking at it's business 101, really. Isn't it, really?
Yeah.
It is, really.
Well, this
says,
is
you know,
one of the other things that I do is, and, you know.
Management is more than a job title.
It is
yes. Where you're...
And this is the behaviour change. It's not the first level that has to be changing their behaviour are the people that are running the business or, you know, senior and middle management or even junior management. Have to be looking at how am I managing these people to get them engaged and understanding what it is I am expecting of them. Because if, I do say it rather sarcastically, the best kept secret in the world to increase productivity is give people more work to do.
Mm.
And then they won't be sitting there on Facebook reading the newspaper. You know, and some of the surveys that I was citing in the webinar are showing that do you feel nervous about getting caught? Oh, no, my manager knows that I do this, but he doesn't mind as long as I get my work done. Well, that suggests to me that they haven't got enough work to do because if they've got time to spend. And, you know, the survey showed it was approximately 12.5% to 15% of the working day was the average. If that's the average, then some people are admitting to not working 25 to 30% of that day. Now, if you're paying somebody the average wage, which in the UK is currently about 28,000 quid, but when you add
28,700.
Thank you. Can I round it up to 28K? Yeah. When you've got your employer on costs onto that, which, you know, given that we're now having to pay auto-enrolment pensions, mm-hmm. et cetera, that's about 35K a year.
Yep.
If somebody is sat at their desk wasting 30% of that, that's costing your business £11,500 a year. Mm. If you've got 10 employees, that's £100,000 down the pan. What would you prefer to do? One, have people that are more engaged with more job satisfaction and managing them properly. And again, when asked the reason why people were wasting time, the average person would think, well, they're going to say it's because they're not getting paid enough. That was only 2% of the respondents said, well, we're not getting paid enough. One of the biggest causes, 35% of respondents, was due to job dissatisfaction.
They're bored.
They're not motivated, exactly.
Well, money isn't a motivator, is it?
It is
money
not.
Is a demotivator.
It's a hygiene factor.
It is a hygiene factor, but people want to feel engaged. They want to feel that they're doing a good job. They want to have that sense of self-fulfillment.
We all
I don't want to get into Maslow's hierarchy here, but
we
that
all need
is that
a pat
problem.
On the back occasionally.
Yeah.
But what's the solution, Linda?
Well, the solution, and again, this is what the webinar moves on to, is managers need to be trained.
Right, training.
Training, which is, again, where the government's
and
going.
And mentoring and coaching and support.
Yeah, and that's where, you know, using the word training is a very... I use, like, systems is the technical side of the business. The training is the tactical side. It's making people understand what they have to do, how they can do it, why... All of those.
So training isn't a dirty word, because quite often, you know, when you say the word training, have you got a training budget in your business? Mm. People think, oh, what you mean? So someone can spend a day out of the office doing
that? Exactly. Now, this is exactly also what I have developed a leadership and management development program, which is not sitting down in a room learning the soft skills of persuasion, negotiation, conflict management. That is part of it. But the difference that my leadership and management development program has is I bring in the hard technicalities of management. What is a management control system? What is productivity? How do you measure productivity specifically to your business? How do you build in the KPIs that actually depersonalizes and takes away all of those awkward conversations that managers hate having to have with their employees who have not performed well? I say, turn that around. Make people understand what is expected of them, let them know what performance levels are required, and then monitor them against that, and on a daily basis or a weekly basis, not on a quarterly performance appraisal basis, by which time, you know, the horse is bolted, the stable door's open, you've lost money.
For me.
And that is where the opportunity lies, and again, it's part of the Aluxi ethos, is I highlight the opportunity that exists in the business that you probably can't see.
For me, one of the biggest issues in corporate life as well is the fact that they use management positions as a reward. So they put people into management positions to reward their good work in technical fields.
Yep.
They don't ever look and say, look, they're just two skill sets. There's no reason on earth why a manager should be paid more than an experienced techie. No reason on earth at all.
And I actually say that it's easier to train somebody the technical part of your business than it is to train them to have good management skills.
Absolutely.
About the army. Yeah. I mean, you know, you go into battle. Who's the guy that's really, in charge of the troops, leading the troops? It's the sergeant, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
It's not the, you know, the junior ranking officer.
No, exactly. Different issues. But fascinating subject. Go for it. You've got 1 minute.
Okay. The Leadership and Management Development Programme is developed by Aluxi Consulting. It's been recognised by the Chartered Management Institute, so it meets national occupational standards. I am launching the first course of this on September the 18th. We're doing Mondays between 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. We're holding it at the Clydesdale Bank Building over at the Kim's Hospital in Maidstone.
Yeah, yeah.
Nice central area. It's 6 sessions over 12 weeks. I'm not holding them weekly. I'm holding them fortnightly.
That's every 2 weeks.
That's every 2 weeks. Because I will be getting the participants to go away and be applying the theory into practice straight away. So you'll come back after 2 weeks and we will review the tasks and the activities and the assignments that you have to do to start getting you building the management control systems and building those skills into your business. So if you have, if you are a business owner or you have senior managers or new junior managers that you feel could be given training to bring them up to speed and start getting better productivity out of your business, this would be the type of course that would be ideal. It ends just at the end of November, so it's not over the sort of peak Christmas period.
Is it for business leaders as well? I mean, would a managing director, absolutely, for example, he wouldn't be out of place on something like that, would he?
No, not at all. Mm. It's not level dependent. Mm. It is a holistic approach as to how to get that profitability, mm, improving your results through behaviour change, using systems and training, and I put that into context.
Fantastic. Linda, thank you for that. We've kind of run out of time in this segment.
Sorry.
Give us a shout for how people can actually book themselves on it, yep, or find out more about the course.
We have, you can contact me at linda@aluxi.co.uk. Aluxi is A-L-L-U-X-I. And we are actually doing special rates for FSB members, right, and for Supply My Business community members of £999 plus VAT. And that includes the course materials, the whole Aluxi toolbox kit.
That's a saving, yeah, of £350. So if, yeah, you act before the end of August, you can save yourself.
Yeah,
a,
ideally,
a chunk
I'd need
of money
to know pretty soon because, mm-hmm, the first session starts on Monday, the 18th of September. So, yeah, it's linda@aluxi.co.uk if you want to express an interest in coming along.
So, fantastic. Six sessions bi-weekly from the 18th of September.
Fantastic. And all the details are on the Supply My Business community members' website.
Linda, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you for having me.
Sorry, we had to rush through that, but Linda's got to get away. So.
She did all of that having jumped off the red eye. I know. New Jersey.
Absolutely.
I remembered any of
so
it.
We do appreciate that. And
no, thank you, guys.
It's a shame that you've got to kind of rush off. Otherwise, we could have explored that in more depth. But we'll get you back and talk about it some more. Do you know what we're going to do now?
FSB.
Channel Radio News Update.
It's that time in the show where we bring you news and information from the Federation of Small Business. There's a sleep-in shift pattern payment change. Following a recent court decision, care workers should now be paid at least the minimum wage for their sleep-in shifts, providing certain conditions are met. We want to understand how this decision may have impacted FSB members. If you've been affected by this and would like to share your experiences, please can you contact Charlotte Talbot at FSB organisation. Thank you.
Bank closures, back in the news again. So this time it's Barclays, and dozens of Barclays bank branch closures across the UK being announced. So I think this is a sort of a general trend, isn't it, in the retail banking industry?
They just shut Lloyds Bank in Tenterson as well. Mm. I don't understand this. Why, oh why, can't someone think of a concept that says, I tell you what, we'll have a bank branch in every town, mm, and every bank can occupy a teller store within it?
We've got a problem with the, I'm a chair for a local charity in East Kent. We've, mm, got a shop in Whitstable and a shop in Hythe. Mm. They have gradually been shutting down all the high street banks. We've got nowhere for those shops to pay their cash in now. Huh. I think we've got one left and we've just applied for a bank account there.
Crazy, isn't it?
But I think it's all tied in again with this productivity drive.
A lot of this is the cost of premises in the southeast of England and damn business rates, government.
But if you can manage people out of your business, which is clearly what they're doing, I mean, we're talking about thousands of jobs here.
Yeah.
But then looking at Barclays, as you've looked at there, you know, most of they've got rid of most of their staff. They've got just machines there now that do the job. And, you know, I mean,
someone on the floor.
Exactly.
It's so frustrating.
One person running around. Yeah.
If you've got a £5 note and the corner's a bit bent, it won't go through the automatic teller.
Yeah.
And Waitrose is the same. I was in Waitrose the other day, you know, and Tesco's is no different. I mean, I think the cash is going. But the services industries, which is kind of what this economy is really kind of built on, and retail and people like Tesco's and the big supermarket multiples, you know, they're trying to basically take the human element out of their business.
Yeah.
And you have these kind of self-service tills now that, you know, just don't work.
Absolutely. Anyway, So that was an interesting diversion.
A rant.
Yeah.
I've had a Martin rant for a while.
Do you have employees under the age of 25? If you do, the Royal College of Speech and Language Therapists and ICANN are surveying FSB employers to find out about the communication skills of young people in the workplace. The results will help to inform BRCO 10 years on, an independent review of provision for children with speech, language and communication needs in England. If you employ someone under the age of 25, please would you complete a survey, and you can do that by contacting Annie Pete at the FSB office.
The irony of bank branch closures. So Metro Bank, who are actually opening branches all over Kent at the moment. In fact, they're about to open a brand new one in Canterbury.
Yep.
On the site of the old CNA
Fabrics yep.
shop.
We shall be moving our bank account there.
Yeah.
From HSBC. I just thought I'd let them know that. Well,
good. So Metro Bank in Maidstone are actually holding a networking evening in conjunction with the FSB Connect. Mm. It's on Wednesday the 13th of September, 5:30 to 7. So they've got one over on Barclays and Lloyds and everybody else already, haven't they?
Because absolutely.
They won't be able to hold any networking evenings because they haven't got any branches.
Metro call their branches stores, and they open 7 days a week. Right. And they open in the evenings as well.
Yeah, and they're open until 8 o'clock in the evenings, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you want to book on for that, the details are on the Kent Business Radio website.
Yep.
So it's Wednesday, 13th September, 5:30 to 7. It's Metro Bank in Maidstone. A great evening of networking.
Absolutely. There's a Women in Business brunch organised by the FSB in Tunbridge Wells on Tuesday the 26th of September from 10 a.m. Between 10 a.m. and 11 start, and it's at the Beacon in Rustall. It was fabulous, the Beacon. You ever been to the Beacon?
No.
Tunbridge Wells. It's up on the hill. Mm. Brilliant. Absolutely lovely place. Get to that if you can. Kent Business Radio /FSB tab. All the details there.
There's another Skills 3030 coming up. Network and inspire the next generation. Now, Paul, I know you're heavily involved with these.
I am indeed.
It's Wednesday the 20th of September, 1 to 4, at the Longfield Academy in Dartford.
Yeah, it's not. No, we've changed the time. It's 10:30 in the morning now.
Oh, it's 10:30 till?
Till 12:30.
Till 12:30, okay. Yeah.
Well, I'm free that day.
Oh, are you? Are you coming?
I might well register for that.
Well done, thank you.
I missed the last one.
It's still at the Longfield Academy, and that would be with Louisa, I guess. Is it Louisa?
Louisa Felstead, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah. Alison Palmer from the FSB. Fantastic. And we normally have someone from Kent County Council talking about apprenticeships and guilds.
That's Kent Business Radio.
30 students.
Yeah.
.co.uk again, you'll find the details on there.
Taking steps to improve well-being and mental health in your business. Are you taking steps to improve the well-being within your business and look after the mental health of both yourself and your staff? We're looking for case studies and examples of best practice of what employers are doing to build healthy and inclusive workplaces. If you're interested in sharing your experiences, please get in touch with David Moore Crouch at the FSB office.
I think that needs to be an award at one of the award options.
Mental health,
yeah.
Well-being.
Well, health and well-being, yeah.
Yeah.
Business rates. Do you remember the business rates issue? That was very, very hot potato, wasn't it, about six months or so ago? So in the end, I believe the government decided that they would put a cap of £50 on business rate increases for small firms, losing their relief in England.
Yep.
But you need to notify the government that you qualify for this. Mm-hmm. And there's a deadline, which is Monday the 21st of August. So I'm not quite sure what the response mechanism is. Is it a how do you actually notify the relevant people that you're eligible for this cap?
Through the Rates Valuation Office.
Right, okay. So you need to get onto them. If you haven't heard anything and you're not quite sure what to do, the FSB are asking you to contact a chap called Matt Dickinson.
Fantastic.
And if you don't know how to get a hold of him, Alison Palmer is our representative in Kent for the FSB.
Absolutely. And that brings us to the end of our FSB update.
Channel Radio. Channel Radio News Update. Channel Radio News Update.
We've still got loads of tweets coming in. I'm going to do one quick tweet before we go over to Abby in the newsroom. We've had Athelbray, Vanilla Web Business Bunker, shout out please Paul, for management program for our new or inexperienced managers at Chilston Park, 8 modules, 3 hours each. If you want to find out more, follow them on the Twitter, Athelbray Limited, A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E-L-T-D, Athelbray Limited, and Sell Street Kent. Good afternoon, Vanilla Web. We'd love a shout out on the Business Bunker show today, and happy birthday. Oh, thank you, ladies. That's really kind of you. Do give Sell Street_Kent a follow on the Twitter. They're really great at buying and selling your house. Fantastic. We're going to join Abby in the newsroom now. That's what we're going to do. What do you think? And then we'll be back later on. Cheers.
Channel Radio News Update.
The pensions regulator is set to prosecute the former owner of BHS. They say Dominic Chappelle failed to provide information during its investigation into the retailer's collapse. He was the director of the company that sold BHS to Sir Philip Green for £1 in 2015. Three young boys have been rescued after being trapped for 16 hours following an earthquake on an Italian holiday island. The quake